Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
Today, I had been praying about Christmas Eve, and all year I've been waiting for this service because I knew that on Christmas Eve we would partake of the Lord's Supper. It's just a very important thing for us to engage with a church in honoring together Jesus. And so as you drive around and you see what's going on, the stores, the lights, everything, I always love this time of year because even those that don't claim Jesus still brag on him symbolically. Symbolically. Now, obviously, yeah, it could frustrate you. Well, they're not honoring him with their hearts. But you know, the idea that he's closer to them this time of year in so many ways than any other time, I just don't want to get caught up on getting frustrated. I want to honor Jesus. I want to honor Jesus this time of year. If you have your Bibles, I want to read a little bit about the Christmas story this morning and point out a couple things that I think is very important. So if you want to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." The angel told her that you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Come on, church. The word of God will never fail. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. As you continue reading in chapter 1 of Luke, I want to read Zechariah's prophecy. Elizabeth and Zechariah was of the lineage in the priesthood, and he had been very involved with making sure that he would go in and give the sacrifice that was needed. And as you read Luke chapter 1, you can read more about that. But he came out and hadn't been able to talk because he'd been in the presence of God. And so as he was in the presence of God and he had been spoken to by an angel there, he came out filled with the Holy Spirit. He gave this prophecy in verse 68. "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He's been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We've been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace." Obviously, he was talking about John the Baptist, and then he was referring to Jesus and what Jesus would be providing for each of us in today's timetable. Going on to read Luke chapter 2, Verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that the census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged and was now expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. I love the Christmas story, no matter which version of the Bible you read it out of. The Bible says the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Church, this is about the fulfillment of Israel's hope. Now, I want to explain this today. In one of the carols, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. You might know that phrase, and you may have heard that phrase sung in the Christmas carol. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And we hear that, and what I don't think we think of often, and I wanted us to think about this today. The angel used covenant language in announcing the birth of Jesus. The angel used covenant language. See, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. That spoke to them. They understood that because that was covenant language. And just as Melanie shared, a lot of times we'll hear something, but we don't relate it to what it was really meant, just with the song, "Joy to the World." Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I mean, we're talking about His coming again. I didn't know that. That was profound for me today. And I will never hear that the same. Well, my prayer today is, after I get done, you'll understand the covenant response that was given in the announcement to the shepherds. Very important that we get this, because it's the hope of all of Israel. They spoke to the shepherds first, but that was what all of Israel was waiting to hear. Hey, the Savior's here. The Messiah has come. They got that. That makes sense to them. See, using covenant language, because the prophecy that had been given, they knew. They knew the prophecy. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now, here's the thing. For the sake of time, I'm not going into every prophecy. We'll just read the one from Isaiah. But there's 44 other direct prophecies in the Old Testament that were telling about the coming of the Messiah. And these people that have been raised under the understanding of the Jewish culture, they got this prophecy. That made sense to them. So it's safe to say they knew the covenant promise. So let's just talk briefly today about a covenant. About a covenant. What did they think about? What did they know about a covenant? A covenant was like this to them, and it is to us too. A great king would make a covenant. with a weaker group of people. A great king would make a covenant with a weaker group of people. The powerful king would bless the weaker party or the nation by delivering them or protecting them in some way. In return, those that the king had saved would promise obedience to him in certain ways that were prescribed and outlined in the covenant. Are you following me? It's really cool. So on the borders of the promised land, the covenant recalls that God, the great king, has provided a miraculous deliverance for the children of Israel from Egypt, and in return for his salvation, he asked them to follow his laws. Old Testament understood, and we get that. Well, it's similar right here. The baby is called the Messiah. See, they're using covenant language. He's to be a great king who will deliver Israel. Therefore, he is also Savior. So he is Messiah, he is Savior, and Israel was looking for that great king. And of course, we have the privilege of hindsight. So we can look and know the whole story. We know that the Messiah who was born was Jesus, and Jesus would save his people in a different way than they were expecting. They were expecting an earth-ruling king. They didn't get the whole picture, but it was very well said in Scripture that this is for all people, and it will be forever. It was an everlasting covenant that he would save Israel forever. Deliverance from their sins was not to mean an army raising up against the Romans, but a Savior who would be nailed to the cross by the Romans. That they couldn't see all that at the time, but nevertheless, they said, the shepherds, we'll go. Let's go check this out. We'll go check this out. Now, I just want to, in our minds, jump forward 33 years from the time that Jesus was born. And jump forward 33 years. How many people were that excited about him 33 years later? Not very many got nailed to a cross. And this same covenant that we see played out right there, they understood the covenant. I see a lot of people understand the covenant. They get excited about Jesus. But January 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 7th, June, all of a sudden, Jesus isn't quite as important as he was December 25th. So I'm not going to not brag on him today because he's important. But I want to keep in mind that this is a covenant that has been established for us. And it was began with Jesus doing exactly what was foretold. And he came in earthly form. And this covenant was available for not just the Jews, but for the whole world. The basic truth here is clear. The long-awaited Messiah has finally come to bring salvation. And that same celebration they had, we celebrate with our families and all the customs that are associated with the holidays today. Christmas will make complete sense when you also celebrate Easter. The one who came in poverty and weakness, wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger, verse 12, dies in poverty and weakness, hanging on a cross while soldiers gamble for his clothes. But in doing so, he absorbs all the darkness that they throw at him, and he conquers evil once for all time. And the first part of the covenant is very clear. God's king will save his people. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because the covenant has came that was foretold. And we celebrate Christmas, but oftentimes we forget the second half of the covenant. Christmas is the first half, Easter is the second half. And you can't have one without the other. So we got to know that. The king saves a helpless people. Well, then the question is, he saves us, what does he demand in return? The angel, his announcement, the Savior has been born to you, he is the Messiah, the Lord. And church, just as Jesus saved his people from Egypt and called them to obey his law, Jesus, the Messiah, comes and he saves his people. And in response, he calls them to recognize him as king. See, that's what the covenant does. They recognize him as king, and we have to own the part that we want to enjoy the covenant. Come on. We want to enjoy the covenant. We have a responsibility in this. Yes, salvation is freely given. God and Jesus brings it by his own initiative, not any of our doing. But while the gift is free, the appropriate response should cost us everything. Let me say that again. The gift is free, but our response to the free gift should cost us everything. So not just tomorrow as we celebrate Christmas, but as we celebrate life every day. And then January, February, March, April, May, June shows that Christmas was real to us. As Lord, he has the right to direct our paths. Come on, as we're celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if we're really celebrating him, then he has the right to direct us. What is more, in the life of the Messiah, he shows who he is explicitly. He won't demand anything of us that he didn't demand of himself. It'll be costly. In a world ruled by the Romans, to call someone Lord is to imply that the person who usually claimed the title of Lord is not Lord. See, it would cost them to say Jesus is Lord because Caesar claimed to be Lord. And to enter into covenant with God's Messiah involves declaring that Jesus is Lord and the powers of this world are not. Jesus claims the Christian's ultimate allegiance, not the world. Not the world. Not the world. Jesus claims it. Some Christians think that Christmas is just the prelude to the real message, that of Easter. And they go hand in hand. I want you to see that today, because as we get ready to celebrate through the partaking of the Lord's Supper, I want you to see that there is an announcement that has been made. The King has come. Aren't you glad? That's why y'all are in church on Christmas Eve. The King has come. The covenant has started. He's proclaimed at Christmas. He's enthroned at Easter on the cross. And know this, the first part, Christmas was proclaimed, Jesus is Savior. The second part, Easter delivers on that proclamation. The King has come. Christmas also says the Savior is the Lord. And Easter says he is declared as Lord in the resurrection. He did exactly what he said he would do. God did exactly what he said. Nobody can predict a birth if you're the one being born. But Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. He just set that all up. How do you set that up? God, that's how. There's no other explanation. God. Here's what I want to point out today. At Christmas, we see Jesus is the fulfillment of God's covenant with the people. He is the King who comes to save his people. He is the Lord who calls all who will receive him. And he will walk in master position in your life if you'll allow him. And they acknowledge that the Savior was born. But see, they only saw him as an earthly deliverance. Boy, you got to get this. Because we got a whole world that's celebrating Jesus right now. I mean, the retailers ought to be going, praise God for Christ. Christmas is the greatest time in our whole year. So we get that, and they ought to be thrilled about it. But the problem is, as soon as Christmas is over, you watch everything just disappear about Christ. It can't happen with God's people. And I want to encourage you today. Easter fulfills the prophecy of his deliverance, not just this side of heaven, but for eternity. For eternity. For eternity. I'm telling you, without Jesus, then the rest of this life can seem pretty bleak. But with Jesus, we got eternity. to look forward to. Because we know the whole story because we're a covenant people. Praise God. That's why today I want to receive the Lord's Supper. Luke 4 says, Jesus came to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, give sight to the blind, liberty to those who are oppressed, give people access to an almighty and most powerful God. I'm glad Jesus came, and I'm equally as glad that he did what I couldn't do. And see, his whole life sets me up to be a covenant person. At Jesus' death, it seemed that everyone had turned against him, like they forgot that he was the fulfillment of the covenant. And you know why? Because they did. That's why the Bible says, remember, remember, remember. Right now, Jesus is fresh on your heart and mind. Don't let this be the only day that you're seen in his house for the next year. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because I see all y'all here. But understand this. Really, to be honest, they didn't have the insight that we have today. But we still have people who operate just like they did. They honored him at his birth, but his death, burial, and resurrection, they weren't there. I want to be there for the full covenant. That's my heart today. I kind of get why they may have missed it, but for the life of me, I don't understand how people can miss Jesus today. It's all been outlined, and it's very clear. We forget him in our lives, and it's just crazy. Come on, church, let's proclaim Jesus in our lives every day for always and forever. For always and forever. We acknowledge him coming into this world as the Messiah, and we allow him the freedom to have our life redeemed, and we experience a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Come on, we're dying to that old man daily. That old man's got to go. When you eat of the flesh and you drink of the blood of Jesus, everybody wanted to be around when Jesus was handing out fish and chips. I mean, they did. But then right after that, when he started talking about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, there was very few there. And today, as you come and partake of the Lord's Supper, we are acknowledging him. We are acknowledging him. 1 Corinthians 11:22, 11:29, all of this is real clear. But in 1 Corinthians 11, we are to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Jesus, let me just tell you, is coming again. Aren't you glad? It wouldn't surprise me if he just shows up today. Are you ready? Some of you, yeah, I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm ready because I've partaken of the whole covenant. So as you come forward today and you grab a piece of bread and you grab a cup of juice here, they are symbolic. Let me just say this before we come up. 1 Corinthians 11:22, Paul gets to the point. He says, if you're hungry, go home and eat. This is not for body hunger, it's for soul hunger. See, this isn't to fulfill your flesh, and Jesus didn't come only to speak to the flesh. He came for the whole picture, for the spirit man. And so this is a soul hunger. I hunger after you, God. I want to proclaim your death until you come. I want to honor you. This isn't a time for us to fellowship over dinner. You just got to understand that. Paul was clear about that. And then 1 Corinthians 11:29, he says, this is a time to examine yourself. Before you come up and get a piece of bread, before you partake of the body of Christ, before you get a cup of juice, which represents the blood and what it did to redeem you, before you get that, examine where you are. We have people in church that are living under the judgment of God because they're not examining themselves and bringing change. 1 Corinthians 11:29, anyone who drinks unworthy is drinking judgment upon themselves. So church, as you come this morning, we're going to turn some worship music on. We're going to be quiet. Parents, I want you to help your children. if you have made Jesus Lord and Savior, and there are some here that are young and haven't come to the point of understanding Jesus as Lord and Savior yet. They haven't got to the place where they say, yes, I'm saved, and they understand the full picture of salvation. This would not be for them to partake of. And parents, you help with that. But if you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, we're going to ask you to come forward. During the time the worship music is on, I want you just to be in an attitude of prayer. Now, you can be in an attitude of prayer and still keep your eyes open so you know where you're walking and what you're doing. But I want you to be in an attitude of prayer and just examine in your heart, Father, today, ask you to forgive me where I've messed up. Acknowledge that we are sinners in need of what Jesus came to give. Father, I've messed up. Thank you for coming to this earth. Thank you. I celebrate you. I celebrate you today. I celebrate you this time of year. And God, right now, I ask that you would help me to die to myself. As you died on that cross and you made life possible for me, would you allow me to die to some areas of my life? And I want to be in right standing. I want to be where I need to be with you. And see, that's the time for you to do that, as you're coming forward and saying, I'm going to partake of Jesus. Get yourself in a position where you're not drinking judgment upon yourself, according to the word. But you're going to get your bread and get your grape juice. And here's what you can do. You can go back to your seat. That's fine. Some of you may want to find a place at the altar to kneel. Some of you may want to just get with your family over to the side. But there's when we're done here, we will be done this morning. And when we are done, you can just leave the chairs set up this morning. We don't need to tear those down. You can leave the chairs set up. But when we are done, we will have a word of prayer in closing. And then I want to celebrate Christ bigger than we ever have this year. And here's why. Because he's real to us. He's the real deal. He's the reason for the season. He's the excitement in every gift we're going to open. Even more than that, he's the excitement in every gift I'm going to get to watch people open. See, that all of that is all to point to Jesus. And if we're not careful, we'll point it to ourselves. Yeah, I got that for you. I did that. Or we'll be pointing to, well, that's not what I asked for. No, you asked for Jesus when you got saved. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus in everything we're doing. And I think that can start this morning as we come forward and we put ourselves in position to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus and recognize what this is really about.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.